this is where the value of AI comes in, when you start to create cluster ICPs or ICPs that are evolving, because they are learning based on the behaviors, the engagement, the industry trends, the firmographics, and how do you bundle them together to then create, you know, self-learning models.
Hi, and welcome to CMO Convo. Today we have with us Archana Dhankar, the marketing leader who has been working in the marketing and B2B field for more than 20 years. Archana, thank you very much for joining this episode.
Thank you, Mikal. It's been a pleasure. I think the conversations we've had offline have been so good. So I'm really looking forward to talking some more.
Yeah, me too. It sounds like we have a very exciting episode for you today, guys. Of course, we're going to talk about GTM, AI, and so much more. But Archana, before we kind of like have a deep dive into the topic, would you mind sharing a bit of your background and your experience?
Sure. So, I mean, for me, I've been in marketing, as you said, for about more than 20 years, primarily B2B and essentially tech B2B, because I come as a computer engineering background. So tech for me is something very natural. Other than that, I'm very passionate about social media and AI in marketing. So I am very vocal about how organizations are leveraging these or should be leveraging these as well. And I'm today looking forward to talking to you a bit more about how marketing is evolving for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. I think that, you know, there's so much chatter and buzz around AI. And to be honest, it also feels a bit like overwhelming. So I would love to get your perspective around that. So out of your experience and your background, which of course led you to understand probably a lot about how AI even functions. So would you mind kind of like sharing a bit, what is your perspective? How do you see AI evolving in the next 12 to 18 months in the realm of marketing? What should we expect?
Sure. I think for me, the knowledge of AI, or as we call it, artificial intelligence, started when I was doing my computer engineering. And I did one of my projects in neural networks. Obviously, since 25 years now, the evolution of AI is very different to what we were thinking it could look like. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I've been like, on looking at what Gen AI, because we've had AI as a phase with us for about 10, 15 years, right? We've had automation, predictive analytics, we've had prescriptive analytics, and all of those have been there. What has now come on top is the generative AI and how that is creating net new possibilities and the agentic mode along with it of getting AI to automate. So when you look at agentic AI, it's a combination of Gen AI plus the automation part of the AI that already existed. So those are the places where people are going to look at efficiencies. Also improvement, right? Like it will change the process of marketing. Everything is on the table, essentially, for us to say, how can we restructure our marketing orgs to work and function better?
Yeah, so maybe we can unpack this a bit. How do you see AI kind of like weaving into our go-to-market strategies?
I think AI is an enabler, right? You can look at AI at different stages of marketing. Some people think in a very positive about that AI would actually be impacting the operational side of marketing more so than the strategic side. And that when I say operational, I'm talking about the, you know, the content, the creative. And we have already seen a lot of impact from Gen AI in content creative, right? We've seen that Gen AI, when trained well, can write blogs, emails, but more of like the derivative assets, not the core asset, because the core asset still needs to come from a human. When you start using Gen AI for a core asset at the back, that's when it gets to a point that it doesn't sound authentic. It probably is not going to be the right message or the tone. So most of the time, the way I have worked in organizations is to say, you know, the core asset needs to come from the business practice, but then you could leverage AI to create generative assets. But this is, we are like literally scratching the surface if we are just thinking of doing AI for content or creative and video editing. I think the bigger impact that we would see in next 3, probably 5 years is from using AI into the strategic part of marketing. And when you look at strategic part, we're talking about customer personas, customer research, things that are either very expensive, very resource intensive, or most of the time we say we don't have time, budget, money to deliver on these, right? Like a lot of organizations would pause a customer research because it's so customer intensive. The customer ICPs and personas that we talk about in marketing when you are looking at it from a practice perspective are not certainly done in most of the organizations because of bandwidth issues. So this is where the value of AI comes in, when you start to create cluster ICPs or ICPs that are evolving, because they are learning based on the behaviors, the engagement, the industry trends, the firmographics, and how do you bundle them together to then create, you know, self-learning models. And there are tools out there that are already doing it, but then bringing them together and training them on your organization data, on your sales pipeline, on the customers' behaviors, etc., is the most critical part that some of the organizations have started to do. Others are already toying. The other that I think is probably marketing ops. I've always said, like, in B2B, we've had like CRMs. There are always a challenge of data. Either the data doesn't exist, the data isn't clean, or is data, because you need a data cleanup sort of a project every 3 to 4 years, right? When you have humans working on those tools. So with AI coming in, I think these are projects where you never used to have resources. We can actually leverage AI, automate those things to make sure that the data that we are using is purpose-built for people.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about also use cases. You've mentioned ICPs, you mentioned clustering. What about product marketing when it comes to the more kind of like strategic thinking? How do you see that might even affect that in a way?
I think product marketing is at a really good cusp, right? Like, we, as a product marketing function, you're talking to customers, understanding what's happening in the industry, and then also talking to the business to understand what people are saying. If you could bring all that insight, right, from the call transcripts that the sales are having with their prospects, if you can bring all the call transcripts or chats that the customer success is doing with their customers or accounts, you have a wealth of knowledge that can then be trained to come out with product nuances, updates that are actually really beneficial, which people really need. Because sometimes I've seen, we are living in a silo in the product world, thinking these are the features that we should be talking about because we think our product is very good. Somebody will hate me for what I'm saying, but it's true, right? We start to internalize our product and we stop talking to our customers most of the time, and we don't have time as well. But this is where AI can help, right? Like, you're getting that information without running into trying to book a call with the customer, trying to do an interview with the customer, which is resource heavy. You've already got that data somewhere. Train your own LLMs and create models where you can ask that LLM questions and say, tell me, like, based on all of this data, what are the top 10 challenges that people are actually facing? Then I can talk to my about my same product, but with the why of why you should care about this product, rather than, by the way, my product has these 10 great features.
Yeah. So essentially, you're talking about creating for each company their own kind of like GPT based on their unique value proposition, based on their positioning in the market, and then the knowledge that the company has. That is actually pretty brilliant as an approach.
Yeah. I mean, you do it through GPT. There are tools out there like Gong, for example. And there are other tools out there where you can like cluster information from multiple sources. And whether you create a GPT or whether you create a RAG model for that sort of your own, it really doesn't matter. But it's about just having that raw, unstructured information to be able to be presented in a structured format for somebody to make sense of it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Thank you very much for bringing this perspective. We touched beforehand about the topic of alignment between teams and marketing operations. So I would love to dig even a bit deeper around that. When it comes to AI adoption or methodologies, etc., how do you create the right alignment between the different stakeholders, such as product marketing, brand, business strategy, RevOps, sales, etc.?
Yeah, I think alignment in any business is critical, right? Like, for a project to succeed, everybody needs to know where it's going and should have had a voice. Most of the project that I've seen fail, whether AI or anything else, is when we start to own the project and start working in a silo. Business is all about collaboration. And if you look at what AI is doing, if knowledge is no longer a key to success, then it's execution. So, and how do you execute without bringing people together? So for me, I think the most important is making sure that everybody's on the same page, or at least understand where the journey of this AI project would go. Identifying use cases, what I've seen works really well is giving everybody a voice, identifying those use cases that are important because they're going to have real business impact. Now, that impact is either because you have a bottleneck in the process already that you want to solve, and AI can be a great enabler if you already know what your bottlenecks are. What are those projects that you're not able to put your time on, but once solved, will give great business impact? I have seen a lot of organizations, and I've done that myself. I would list out all the use cases and actually create like a graph of sorts to say time versus effort and what is the gain. So if the gain is bigger, then that's the part that I would prioritize. But sometimes because one of the AI use cases might take like 6 to 9 months, then you could start using a crawl, walk, run process where you start doing some small iterative projects initially while you're still working on that longer change management as well. And that's why some of the organizations have gone for maybe content and video editing first, because those are smaller use cases. But the only message I have is the ball doesn't stop there. You have to still keep going and looking at that bigger gains rather than quick efficiencies.
Yeah, I'm 100% agreeing. I think that also the story and the evolution of AI and the adoption is changing, right? So it first started more with a bottom-up approach, meaning employees just started to use ChatGPT or different video editing tools, et cetera, to accelerate and to make their work a bit more efficient. But now we're actually in a pivotal moment where organizations are starting to bring in AI as a strategy top-down. So it is a very interesting moment to be in. Historical event to an extent. And I would love to ask you, because you've mentioned that you see many projects or companies trying to adopt a different methodology actually fail. So I would love to hear from your experience and perspective, what are some signals that might indicate that the team is ready or not ready to implement AI in their go-to-market strategy?
I think great question. And it's the signals might differ based on where the organization is. But I think for a mature organization or a large organization in this case, the signals are, you know, data sanity, having a good MarTech stack, and having an understanding of what the customer and the pain points they're trying to solve within their team. Because when an architecture already exists, you're not doing things ground up. You're essentially changing processes and evolving. You already have a team. You have to evolve them with you. So having that mindset for change is also very critical within the whole team. And sometimes they have to do like a change management, right? Like take people along on journey. And that's very critical. If you were a startup, I think a lot of startups are already good with those things because they're starting with a net new CRM, net new tool, new processes. I think they will probably be more AI native organizations. So faster to evolve with AI. I've seen use cases, and I have few of my friends and colleagues from my institutions where I've studied, because they're doing startups, they're looking at everything differently. They're looking at how can I do marketing without very resource intensive. A 4-people organization probably getting up to 10 million in revenue is not going to be very surprising. But that would look very different if you were talking to a large organization as well.
Yeah. And you're touching a very critical point, which I would love to unpack if you will be willing, which is the whole perspective of the change management and the mindset. So I think that we all try to create some change in our team or organization. As you said, oftentimes the architecture, the structure is already existing. How do you bring in the change in a way that people can adapt, see the value, would like to take on this journey? Because I think that that is also a main obstacle that currently is happening in the market.
Yes, I mean, it is true to some extent. Like, though I feel like everybody is open to AI. So I've seen this evolution of AI. In 2023, people were skeptical. 2024 came about, people were using AI, but they were not owning up to it. So, and then 2025 it was apparent that everybody is using AI. We could even figure out when an email or a blog might be written by AI, haven't been read. I had this where I would say I had to unchat GPT everything. So that's the scenario we are in today. I think people are ready for that change. We've been talking about it for long. But at the same time, when you talk about change management in an organization, the model that I've seen works really well is you start with smaller pilots and you create core groups, almost like on a behavior of innovation within an organization, right? So whether you call it intrapreneurship, that's a model that you could look at. And you create smaller groups who are testing, where you have subject matter experts who are proving and making sure that it is now purpose-built for the workflow within the org. And then you scale it down into further teams, which is like larger teams for the same use cases. So starting with the smaller pilot, testing all the processes, rather than rolling it to like the whole team without testing is very, it's not reasonable ask. And that's where I think people have a lot of pushback saying it isn't working for X or Y or Z. But if you already solved that and you come with a with answers, some of the answers, and say, okay, some of the answers might still be missing, which is almost like launching a beta of a product and say, okay, now this is a beta, we are going to test it. But we've at least gotten to a beta stage with the smaller team.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that approach. That sounds very thoughtful and meaningful and also feasible. So for our listeners that might, you know, be in the same situation now, they want to adopt AI, they want to bring it into their organization in a more smarter, efficient scale way, where will be a good place to start if they want to start, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
bringing it in.
I think try and start and talking to a few people in your own team. And so first of all, start internally and identify what are the bottlenecks, where can you actually make impact, right? Because in an organization, some projects might already be underway. I've seen organizations where you have a shared pool of GPTs, I mean, more than 200 GPTs being shared across the organization already. And that's a great model because you can create your own GPT and show it to everybody. But at this point, because it's not greenfield anymore, at least in large organizations, and identify where the gaps are still within the AI projects. And then start to research those and say, how can AI enable if I have this roadblock? So the AI use cases are vast, and I don't think everybody knows what those AI use cases could look like. But anything is on the table, really. If you have a bottleneck, maybe this is a time. If you have a problem, if you're facing a challenge, this is the time to say, can AI help me solve this? And then use AI to leverage, show impact. Talk to some peers, talk to your industry experts as well. Or even read some blogs on that problem and say, like, is AI helping? And that's a great start because you can't solve something that doesn't exist. So you have to start with the problem and then look at an AI solution for that problem.
Yeah, yeah. So always kind of like start with the why. What is the problem? Why is this important? And then find the how, basically. That's what you're sharing here. Would you mind sharing from your experience one lesson learned where you can say, okay, I've implemented an AI strategy. It worked in a brilliant way and it really helped me solve an issue that I had in my team.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I've implemented like few AI use cases. I think the important lesson that I've learned, which would probably be for all AI applications, is AI still needs human review. So if any project that you're looking at, if it is going to be a customer facing and if it can hamper customer trust, we should always have human in the loop. That's the model that people talk about called HITL. But essentially, having a human review on top is very critical. So AI standalone probably isn't enough, but you need a human expert on top to review what the output of the AI looks like before sharing it wider with the team. This could be content creative. Even if it's data, you maybe cannot review it completely if it's like more than like 100,000 contacts or whatever that looks like. At that point, you have a machine review on top, but you still need a review because AI can hallucinate and AI can make mistakes. I was literally doing something yesterday. I was still making mistakes. So I know that this isn't going away, the hallucination and, you know, wrong facts, etc. So that's something that we have to understand and just adopt to as well. That while it comes with gains, there are some errors that we have to be mindful of. The other thing that I would say is to think about when you're like doing AI projects, how are you bringing people along with you, right? Because there's a journey for your team, for your organization, and you have to be able to articulate that for the whole team to understand how it's actually going to translate in meaningful gains. And that's very critical for getting that leadership buy-in in your own organization.
Yeah, I'm 100% agreeing that what you mentioned here is very important. So stakeholder alignment, getting the buy-in, getting people on board. So they need to believe in the vision and the mission behind that. So actually, with the rise of AI, what I've noticing there is also a rise in a lot of soft skills, in the need to know how to communicate efficiently and also to bring in people with you, right? So to bring people together to this mission, which is called AI. Having said that, I would love to hear a point of view a bit about where marketing is heading. I think that everything is shifting, evolving. As I said, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of chatter. Do you have any perspective about where are we going with all of this?
Yeah, I think if you looked at AI and how it's evolving, there was a statement being made that with AI coming in, a generalist can do everything. I don't agree. I really don't agree with that because I have seen that when with the use of AI, the maximum impact or the maximum gain is for a specialist actually, because we know what good looks like. So whenever we've done implementation, or I should say I have done implementation in my org, I've said it's more about augmenting a specialist and not replacing a specialist. So if you are a paid media specialist, the AI can help you get better in your campaign rather than having a generalist marketing person take over paid media. That's not the gain that we would see. So that's one of the key important pieces. We have a lot of like academic researchers on not just in marketing, but across all the spheres to say the gains are more for specialists than generalists. And I think that's what organizations also need to understand is, you'll still need specialists in the domain, but then augment and increase their productivity by using AI. So that's the change that I think people's mindset will have. And I think the other thing is, I've said it before as well, is we think knowledge used to be the biggest gain, right? Like I can be a doctor, I can be a lawyer. With AI coming in, if knowledge is no longer the key differentiator, then execution is going to be the key differentiator. And Mikhail, that's what you were talking about, right? The soft skills. How do you bring people together? How do you communicate? How do you get alignment? How do you influence others? And those are the soft skills that even marketers would start to need more and more because the strategy could also be developed by AI.
Yeah, and you're actually touching the next question that I wanted to ask you. So for our audience, for our listeners, what are the skills that they should be focusing on, right? Is it more about learning new models or learning how to use different AI tools? Is it the soft skills? Where should we put our effort?
Yes. And I've done a talk on this in college as well, like what are the skills that are needed for marketers or for students coming out of colleges as well. And one of the things I've always touched is you still need to be an experienced domain expert, whichever that looks like for you. But then everybody needs to start working on the EQ, which is the emotional intelligence part of
100% agree. Yeah.
EQ, because the IQ is getting supplemented by AI today. So yeah, we still need to have it, but the most important is the EQ. And if you can have that emotional intelligence and a growth mindset, being able to problem solve, because with AI, everybody has to have a growth mindset. It's evolving marketing. It's evolving every single domain so very fast that without growth mindset, it becomes really hard to keep learning. My own behavior is that I keep like learning something or the other. Like that's how I have kept myself relevant, at least till date, which is just go read a book, go and see what's coming next, and have some play around. It might not be in my code job, but I would still go around testing new things.
Yeah, so maybe what you're touching here is the element of curiosity, that we should keep the curiosity going, even though there is so much knowledge out there. So to keep the curiosity going. Archana, thank you very, very much. We are now heading to the end of the episode. And I would love to ask you, do you have any final words, something that you would love to share with the audience?
I think it's been a pleasure talking to you, Mikhail. My final words, especially that we've talked about AI so much in this conversation, is to say, keep learning, keep growing, have that mindset of using AI and evolving yourself as you go, and be open to different use cases in AI, right? Like it could be very much that what the landscape looks today. In 2 years' time, it could look very different.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think these are so smart wisdom words to finalize this episode. Thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you, Mikhail.